Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 126. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. In last week's episode, I talked a lot about free software and the belief and philosophy that everyone out there in the world should have the opportunity to have four basic and fundamental freedoms when it comes to using software. And many people out there who are part of the Free Software Foundation or Free Software Movement have the belief that proprietary software, software that is made by companies where the source code is locked down, that you cannot access the source code, you cannot see what it's made, you can't make any changes, you can't redistribute the software, can be fundamentally sort of evil, and we shouldn't be using it, and that all software should be free and openly available for everyone to use. And along with that, the freedom to, or right to make the changes, to redistribute, to make copies, all of those things that we talked about in last week's episode. Well, over the last week, I have been watching more videos on Richard Stallman, more interviews, and I mentioned last week that I installed Pure OS, which is a Linux distribution built for users of free software, specifically in mind, to respect their privacy, respect their respect those four freedoms that we talked about. And so this week, I want to take a slightly different approach to this whole aspect. And remember, when we say the word free, we're not talking about free as in price. We're talking about free as in a right, like free speech. So free software is a belief of a fundamental right. And if you haven't listened to last week's episode, episode 125, go check it out before you go on with this episode. Okay, so listening to some interviews with Richard Stallman. A lot of these you can find on YouTube. And first thing that he's going to tell you if you were to hear him say is you can find these videos on other places like archive.org that are more freedom respecting, but they are available on YouTube. And that is to get the message out to those who might not be aware of the movement. So I've seen several articles, and I'm not going to say exactly where. Maybe I'll put some in the show notes or in the Discord chat room. I know I've already put a couple in the Discord room. But basically, one of two things happens when I've seen these interviews. Either the person interviewing is an advocate of free software, so understands where Richard Stallman is coming from on every aspect, and is mostly agreeing with everything he says. Or there is someone who is trying to understand free software, but doesn't quite understand Richard Stallman's approach to free software and why he doesn't use particular products. When you watch these videos, it becomes clear that if he feels like he's not getting his point across correctly, or the person isn't listening to what he says, then there is a moment where he becomes impatient as he's trying to explain his step-by-step approach to freedom and free software. And in certain instances, he can become a little overbearing, a little too much for people who are either interviewing or trying to play devil's advocate, let's say, about proprietary software. And I have to say, though, he does a good job, Richard Stallman does a good job of pulling it back in, and if he has gone across the line or maybe become a little too intense in an interview, he can pull it back and still continue on with an interview, even though he may have upset the person interviewing or something like that. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to go to his website. I wanted to go to the Free Software Foundation website and really take a look at some of this stuff that he is talking about in a lot of these interviews. What I really wanted to know is why he doesn't use particular proprietary software. And if you go to Stallman.org, he talks about reasons why he doesn't use specific things. To give you an example, Richard Stallman will not use Amazon. He believes that Amazon harms its customers, its workers, and many other people in the whole overall process to when it comes to selling items online. It may come to things like the size of the company itself, quite possibly be becoming a monopoly. He believes that Amazon is sabotaging customers and clearly trying to trick customers into making purchases. He also argues that Amazon is sort of limiting the use of cash. So with everything you purchase, it's got to be a credit card. You cannot, even with Amazon's new grocery stores, they don't accept cash. So it's a type of surveillance and a type of tracking online that he disapproves of. So there's a long list, stallman.org/Amazon, of why he believes Amazon should not be used, whether it's censorship or even snooping. He believes that Amazon Echoes seem to have a universal backdoor, which means that it could be converted into a full-time listening device at any point in time. And in the case of publishing books or selling books, basically it's Amazon is destroying smaller book publishing companies year after year. So having such a large company sort of doing so much, having so much market share, is something that is really sort of disheartening to him. And if you sort of browse through the website, he'll talk about things like the giants, like Apple, why he doesn't use Apple devices. Apple can block certain apps from being updated for a indefinite period of time if it wanted to. They sort of censor what's put on their platform, whether it's types of books, types of music, types of services, whether it's censoring the mail that you send. And, you know, when I first started listening to what he had to say, most of it I thought was about, you know, privacy rights or that type of thing, whether it's companies spying on you or that type of stuff. And he's got a lot of information out there, such as Apple outsourcing user data to China, that type of thing, or Apple leaving a security hole unfixed for 3 years and giving that governments around the world an opportunity to invade people's privacy, so to speak. But it's not just about that, too. He really talks and researches these in great depth, whether it's Apple's avoidance to paying taxes in certain countries, or the right to repair movement, where Apple is sort of stopping little repair shops in every attempt that they can to make you bring their devices back to a certified Apple store. Whereas like an iPhone 7 can be bricked if an unauthorized repair agent fixes it. So he has a lot of really great thoughts on why you shouldn't support these mega corporations, you know, Apple being one of the first $1 trillion companies out there. And he just doesn't stop there. I mean, take a look at things like Microsoft. Again, talking about backdoors for software that could potentially be used by anyone out there, really, to access your data. Again, jam-packing malicious functionalities in an operating system without the user knowing. One of the things he talks highly of is how Microsoft sort of tricked people into upgrading to Windows 10. And he provides links to all of this stuff. If you check out, you know, stallman.org/apple.html or .microsoft.html, and you can really just go through everything bit by bit. Netflix is another big thing. He talks about A lot of this has to do, again, with having to identify yourself to use a program. Now, some people are okay with that, but just think, you know, as you're using a credit card to pay for these services, if you're using any type of giving your name out to a company, that can be sold to other companies. So it's a tricky thing because it's something that users, a lot of users, want to access, but they're giving up fundamental rights in order to do that. And that's sort of where I'm going with this podcast. So, and we've sort of dabbled on it before, where does the line get crossed when it comes to using these things? Now, even watching some of these videos on YouTube of Richard Stallman, somebody actually asked him, where does the line get crossed? You know, where do you draw the line on freedom? And Richard Stallman mentions the fact that hardware on your computers has software built into it that we can't even access. And I was confused by that answer because I wasn't sure if he meant he actually drew the line there because we can't access the software, or if he won't use computers that have the software built in. And this is something that I've been struggling with for a few weeks now, looking at this whole freedom movement. And you can go through company after company, reasons why not to use Facebook. One thing I really like about Richard Stallman is he's got a pun for just about everything. Whether it's if you're an Amazon Kindle user, you're using the Amazon Swindle. Or if you're using Apple iPad, it's the iBad. If you're a Facebook user, he calls you a Facebook used, because Facebook uses everything that you post on Facebook. Facebook, again, makes you use your real name. And if you don't use your real name, you have the risk of having your account suspended. So, again, having to use your real name, giving out personal information, is something that many people disagree with. Any photo you post on Facebook can be used by Facebook. And in the meantime, Facebook changes, and these other companies too, changes the back end of their software and makes you frequently upgrade or agree to end user licenses. And each time they may add another small line or small sentence that limits your freedom and limits you in ways that you might not even realize. So we could go through all the lists here on a company. I mean, he doesn't use Airbnb, he doesn't use Amtrak, doesn't use Ancestry.com, doesn't use Evernote or LinkedIn or Meetup or Lyft or Patreon or Skype or Spotify or Twitter, Ubers, Wendy's. The list goes on and on and on. And I kind of respect that he does this. I mean, he puts it out there and he lives this lifestyle. But I'm struggling with this. And here's why. I mentioned in last week's show that I'm an open source advocate. I will use open source software whenever possible in any situation that I can. And I also mentioned that I appreciate free software. I appreciate the Free Software Foundation, the GNU.org website. I appreciate Richard Stallman, what he does. But is it possible to get to the point where you can be completely free? And I think that is a hypothetical question that really is never going to be answered. And here's why. So I'm, and hopefully I'm not insulting somebody. If I am, I'm not trying to. If I want to use something like the internet, I've got to add, and I want to be, excuse me, if I want to use the internet and I want to be aware of my freedom and anonymity on the website, what I have to do is I have to add a bunch of extensions that blocks things like JavaScript, blocks web ads, that blocks my IP address, that changes my MAC address to prevent showing where I am in the world, stops all those websites from tracking my information, my name, my accounts, whatever you have. I've got to add all of that. But each time you add these extensions, you're running the chance that a website will no longer function correctly, no longer show you the details that you're wanting to see, things won't show up right on your website. So yes, while it's respecting your freedom, it's also severely limiting what you can do. And I understand I talked about sacrifice last week as well. If you're someone that's really looking to take care of your own online privacy and want to be completely free, you're going to be quite limited. So for me, I use Facebook for keeping in touch with friends and family. I post the podcast, I post events that I'm a part of, but I don't really use it a whole lot for more than that. But I still use it, even though I know what it's doing, and I, and in the back of my mind, hate the fact that this company is taking advantage of me the whole time. And when I work on my other show that I just started, currently the easiest setup right now is just based off of pure expenses and not really anything else. What I have, I'm using, and I have a Mac that we're using. And if we want extra video cameras, we can use an iPhone or an iPad and not have an extra cost involved with purchasing other equipment. We can do this kind of for free and not spend any money. So I can produce another show using iMovie, which I hate iMovie with a passion, but we're already on the Mac platform. We're already editing it in open source, the audio in open source software, but putting it all together, iMovie is the best option right now. That may change in the future. So I'm giving up my freedom using Apple hardware and Apple software, but it gets done what I need to get done. And in another respect, I'm at school, I'm using Windows most of the time at school. And most of the time I'm bashing my head off the desk with how slow it runs or how long it takes to load software or how I have to restart right as a class is starting or something like that. And it's not letting me make the decisions I want. But I've got to use it in order to teach. So I find myself being limited in that freedom respect. Or when I'm out in a production world and I'm running sound systems controlled by an iPad. I'd love to have a Linux tablet with software on it that I can control my mixer with and having that mixer built in with free software. But that just doesn't happen for what it. Now, should I abandon my whole career? Should I abandon my whole lifestyle based off of wanting to be freedom respecting? That's a tough call because Richard Stallman would say we shouldn't be using that software and we should be promote people to make that software freely open and available to everybody. But at the same time, there is professional video editing software available on Linux that's free. It's pretty good, but it's buggy. It's crashy. And if you get into long, drawn-out projects, then that's time-consuming. And time is worth a lot of money to me. I don't have a lot of time to do everything that I like to do. So time, if I can edit something in an hour in iMovie, but it takes me 2 hours to do it in Kden Live, then I'm going to do it in iMovie. And because time is much more worth it to me, unfortunately. But if I'm open in discussing this, it's still a goal for me to switch it to open source software. Now, you could draw the line and you could make the argument that I should have looked more at the freedom-respecting hardware before I made the purchases. Well, I've already got what I have, but if somebody could find me an audio mixer that's got 16 to 24 channels, that's got built-in free and open software on it, that I can control with a Linux tablet wirelessly, that I can record software with, that I can edit the recording with, that I can then produce quality recordings with so that I can give them back to my community. I'd love to hear about it because I'm unaware of anything like that. But it's also got to have things like EQ, and it's also got to have things like a compressor and gate and limiter. And I have to be able to have full control over faders and mute and mains and aux sends. But it's that I can't find available that's openly freedom respecting. So the other thing is, if I, in the music world, if I'm advertising an event, posting flyers might work for 10 people, but how many times do you pay attention to a flyer posted on a wall as you're going into a building? Something might catch your eye, you might stop and read it, but there's 100 other flyers there that you didn't read. The other thing is, if I'm using social media to have a presence, and that's kind of what I have done, then I'm not really respecting my freedoms. So if I'm using Facebook, now Richard Stallman addresses this on his website. He has a whole page basically set up for having a presence online. He says, make your organization's website the go-to place for all information about the organization. What people want to know, your website should be the best place to look for it. And I totally agree with that. I have a website for my band, and I will tell you, I track the amount of use that my website gets. It gets some use, and people know to go to the website. But I can also guarantee you that Facebook does a much better job of getting the word out about my events and statuses than my website does. And I keep my website up to date. It says, on your Facebook page, promote your website. I do that. And he basically says, if you want to have a page on Facebook, Facebook is a bad place for a person to be. Have the motto of trying to get people to move away from Facebook. Then he goes on and talks about what to post and what not to post, avoiding messages. The problem is people will not read through everything. They'll read the details and skim through what you're posting. And then they may or may not, if you're wanting to go to away from Facebook, Facebook does, and that's what probably what Stallman is trying to say. Facebook is trying to keep you on Facebook. YouTube tries to keep you on YouTube. And in fact, when you post videos on YouTube, your videos will get less views if people move away from YouTube after they watch your video. And yeah, I don't agree with that stuff, but I put my stuff out there. I put it on Facebook to advertise my shows, and my audience grows because of that. If I stop doing that, my audience gets smaller. So then I stop making money for my organization. So this is something that's really tricky to me. It's really something that I think is important, but is it realistic? Can you live a completely free lifestyle? I honestly don't think you can. I think it's too difficult. It's too much of a sacrifice. And most people out there are just giving up their rights left and right because they want to be able to get on Facebook, or they want to be able to watch Netflix, or they want to be able to order from Amazon. And we do have to keep in mind that these companies are out for our data. We have to keep in mind that they are not keeping our information private. But what can we do to circumvent that? We can support our local stores by not purchasing on Amazon, pay with cash. We can have a DVD collection instead of watching Netflix movies. So there are things that you can do to work around this. But in the end, these major projects are compelling. They are cheaper in the long run. I mean, $7 or $8 a month for Netflix is cheaper than buying movie after movie after movie. And then eventually the medium goes away and you have to convert to something else. And as a longtime Linux user, every once in a while I experiment with new freedom respecting things. And that's sort of what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to move the pendulum from leaning towards proprietary stuff back to free and open source whenever I can. To give you an example, I tried to use an encrypted email service where you have to provide a key to be able to access an email that you send to another person. They need a key to access the email. I tried it on someone who didn't know about this type of service to see what would happen. So even attempting to get someone to think freedom respecting, if they don't know how to use the particular software, if they don't understand it, they have to spend the time and educate themselves how to do it. And the 85% of the people out there in the world are probably like that, not understanding how to use the certain software. So you run into that problem. So ultimately, it comes down again to my philosophy that I've used for years and years and years. Okay. So in the music world, you have different instruments that can be used for different types of things. For example, I play the trumpet. There are different types of trumpets that are made for playing in orchestras. There are different types of trumpets that are made for playing lead trumpet in a jazz ensemble. There are trumpets that are made to have a really dark and warm sound and you want to play in a jazz combo. There are trumpets that are built for projecting sounds for royalty. There are types of trumpets that are made for high pitch classical music, or there are really novelty trumpets that make sounds like a trombone, bass trumpet. There are slide trumpets. There are toy trumpets. The list goes on and on and on. And with that, there are thousands of different mouthpieces that you can use. You can use a shallow cup, a deep cup, and all those produce different sounds. And I had a teacher once told me, you know, you're using the right tool for the job. So what you're doing is you find what you need that's going to be sort of all-encompassing, and you can switch based on what your needs are. And the same thing goes for computing needs. Most people today, their needs are, I go on my cell phone and I look something up. But not everyone. And if you are able to use all open source software, that's really great. If you use a little bit of proprietary software, my advice is just be careful of what data you are sending. And this whole thing has got my mind wrapped up, and my neurons have been crisscrossing, my eyes have been going cross-eyed, trying to figure this whole thing out. And sure, being free to completely freedom respecting would be fantastic, but I'm not at that point yet where I can do that. So much to the point where it's kind of made me want to do something and try something completely different that I've never really tried before. And I don't know if I'm going to do this yet, but I kind of want to completely unplug for a week or two. What I mean completely unplug is no computers, no cell phone, no tablets, even maybe going as far as no TV, and see how long I can last without those devices that don't respect my freedom, and just completely unplug for a few weeks. I don't know if I'm going to do it yet. I think that's kind of an interesting topic on its own from a tech podcast perspective. Obviously, I wouldn't give it up completely, but I wonder what else I'd find to do if I just completely unplugged everything for 2 weeks. Speaking of the next few weeks, we've got a couple of great shows that are lined up through the holiday season. I'm going to try to pre-record them just to make sure we have a show out every week. And if I can get a couple episodes pre-recorded, that'll get me through the holidays. And hopefully you guys will still have a show to listen to. So I'm probably going to do that at least the next couple of weeks. I'll probably pre-record them. I'm going to invite you all to join the Discord chat room. You can go to my website, mrptechreviews.com. Click on the Discord button. That'll bring you right to the chat room. A lot of really great stuff people post there week after week after week. Just real great stuff. And it's a great group of people there. Just happy to have them be a part of the show. If you want to support this show, you can go to patreon.com/mrptech. That's the way to support this show directly. I would appreciate any support that you could give with that. Or you can just donate on the website if you'd like to do that as well. Always enjoy hearing back from my listeners. So you can email me mrptechreviews@gmail.com. I'd love to hear some comments. And if you completely disagree with me on my thoughts on the free software movement, you can tell me, you can let me know. I understand completely that there's a lot of people out there that'll disagree with my thoughts, but that's where I'm standing. That doesn't mean that's not where I'm going to stand a month from now or 2 months from now or a year from now. And most of all, check out all the other great shows on the Podnuts Network and listen to all the other shows on that network and let them know that you appreciate their show. I'm sure they'd love to hear the feedback as well. That's going to do it for this week's episode, guys. We will thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.